It's Andy Parks live from the Washington Times on 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. And I'm pleased to welcome to the program the new executive editor of the Washington Times. His name is David S. Jackson, and he joins me now. Good afternoon, David. How are you?
Good, Andy. Thank you.
Welcome first, and congratulations. Although you're not exactly new to the building, you've been running around here for a little while in a consultant capacity, right?
That's right. I have been here for a few months, advising the management about a variety of things related to strategic planning.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm not a total newcomer here. I have a feel for the paper and the mission, and I'm very excited about the challenge facing us going forward.
Right. I want to find out a little about your background.
Sure.
Started in newspaper.
Right.
As a reporter.
Yep.
You worked at local level and then eventually went to become a foreign correspondent, if I understand correctly?
Yeah. Actually, my first job was at a wire service. It was a wire service in Chicago called the City News Bureau, which is actually sort of a legendary wire uh-huh. service. I think they finally went out of business a few years ago, but I believe they'd been around for well over 100 years.
Okay.
A lot of famous journalists worked there. I spent a little over a year there. And then I was hired by the Chicago Daily News, which was one of four newspapers in Chicago.
Wow.
When I joined it. Chicago was a great newspaper town.
Sure, sure.
Great place to learn. And I started out the traditional way, as people used to do, as a police reporter.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew young reporters starting out on the midnight beat, covering all the mayhem that goes on
in
Chicago.
Hanging out in all the bad areas.
Yep. Great fun and great training.
Uh-huh.
From there, the Chicago Daily News folded, and it was sort of the first of many afternoon dailies that went out of business.
I saw it here. I saw it in Baltimore. So, yeah, I'm very familiar. Yeah.
Well, it was a great group of people, and many of them have gone on to interesting careers. And I had the good fortune to be hired by Time Magazine in Chicago after it folded. So I began a 23-year career with Time.
Oh,
in
wow.
1978,
mm-hmm.
Which took me all over the world. So it was a great ride, and a lot of time spent in print.
Uh-huh. All right, so then I understand you kind of evolved into sort of a high-tech guy. You started looking toward the future at the right moment, I think.
Well, you know, I was very fortunate. I spent a few years abroad with Time, and I was actually based in Hong Kong in early 90s, and I was, like all good reporters, I was keeping track of what was going on not only in East Asia but also in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And I just got the sense that there was a lot of stuff brewing in high tech, and Time wasn't really focused on that very much. Newsweek was doing a pretty good job, but I went to the chief correspondent at Time, and I said, you know, I would love to be the San Francisco bureau chief in my next job and really focus in on high technology.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just so happened that the chief of correspondents thought the same thing and was thinking that we needed someone who was really interested in that topic. So he transferred me to San Francisco. And as I said, I had the good fortune to be sort of in the right place at the right time when things mm-hmm. started popping in high tech.
Yeah.
I arrived in 1992, and it was the beginning of just a revolution in digital technology.
Sure.
We had things, first of all, of course, you remember the Netscape browser.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, people didn't really communicate online, except in things like bulletin board services and things where you had to type in, you know, C://
Yeah, right.
/
The kind of stuff nobody wanted to do.
Yeah, it was for techies and academics.
Right.
And all of a sudden, they invented this graphical user interface that allowed people, normal people, non-techie,
mm-hmm.
to use the Internet. So since I was the San Francisco bureau chief, I had pretty good entree to the people who were making things happen. And I got to meet people and interview people that created the world we now live in.
Yeah.
I mean, whether, you know, I had many interviews with Bill Gates,
sure,
Steve Jobs, Andy Grove at Intel, Mark Andreessen, the guy who was part of that team that invented the browser. And most importantly, I had a front row seat on the creation of this new, this revolution.
Yeah.
And it was a very exciting time, and I learned a lot.
All right, but then you moved into an entirely different world, into broadcasting.
That's right.
And how did that come about?
Well, again, I just had a lot of good fortune of being in the right place at the right time. I ended up staying with Time until after the AOL Time Warner merger.
Right.
And like a lot of people in the news magazine business, I began seeing the over the horizon. I wasn't sure how long the news magazine business was going to be.
The writing on the wall.
Yeah, how long I wanted to be there. Yeah. And I'd been there for 23 years, and I'd sort of done everything I wanted to do.
Right.
I'd been all over the world. I didn't have a lot of things left that intrigued me, so I was hoping to do something different. So I left Time and headed to Washington, where I'd worked. In one of my assignments at Time was I was in the Washington Bureau. And my wife's from this area.
Mm-hmm.
And we put our house in the market, and we wanted to get our daughter into school at the beginning of the school year. So we packed up our bags and moved to D.C. And we arrived here 10 days before 9/11.
Oh, wow.
And I had some ideas about what I wanted to do, but they all went out the window with
sure.
the terrorist attack.
Yeah.
And I happened to have a conversation with an old friend, Tori Clark,
mm-hmm.
who I had known from her days working in the Reagan administration.
Mm-hmm. She's done radio shows with me. She's been my guest host many times.
She's a great
wonderful
woman.
Wonderful person, yeah.
And Tori at the time was working as the spokesman for the Department of Defense. She
sure.
was Assistant Secretary of State for Foreign Affairs. So Tori told me that after the terrorist attacks, and this is a conversation we had like two or three days after the
mm-hmm.
attacks, she told me that they had a lot of ideas about how they wanted to communicate with the public about what America was going to do in response to the terrorist attacks. And one of the ideas she had was she wanted to create a website that was devoted to news and information about the war against terrorism. So she said, do you know anybody who could help us with that? And I said, well, Tori, I can do that for you. So she said, well, when can you start?
No kidding.
So literally, I mean, the halls of the Pentagon were still, you know, filled with smoke.
Yeah.
And I went over there and agreed to create this website for her. So I ended up doing that. And it was a very rewarding job because Americans at the time did want to know what we were doing. They
sure.
wanted to know, you know, what equipment's going to use, what troops are doing what, and mainly to be reassured that things were going to be all right.
Mm-hmm.
And that was part of my job, is to keep them informed. So I created this website. We got it up and running very quickly. And government speed, warp speed time for the government. It was like 2 weeks. And I wrote the headlines. I picked the pictures. I ran this website for almost exactly a year.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got a call from another acquaintance in Washington. This is a great thing about reporters. You have a lot of acquaintances.
Yeah, sure. Sure.
And the caller said that the U.S. Broadcasting Board of Governors was looking for a new director of the Voice of America and asked if I would be interested.
Yeah.
So I couldn't turn that down.
No.
And Tori gave me her blessing, and next thing I knew, I took on that job.
And that, of course, is that's the organization that provides news and information to people all over the world in I don't know how many languages.
Yep.
You have 40 couple languages or something like
that's
that.
That's right.
Yeah.
VOA was created like 70 days after the bombing of Pearl Harbor.
Mm-hmm.
And it was originally created to be the one source of credible, truthful news at a time when there was a lot of propaganda on the air, whether it was Tokyo Rose or
sure.
you name it.
Yeah.
There was no place where people could really find out what was really going on around the world. And the United States, to its credit, created this institution to be that source of credible and balanced news and information. And the first broadcast that VOA put out, and this is a speech that every VOA director learns very quickly, these words. The first broadcast, the announcer said, you know, this is a Voice of America. Every day we will come to you at this time. And the news may be good, the news may be bad, but we will tell you the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, he said it in German because that's what those first broadcasts were. And today, of course, VOA is in 44 languages, and it's not just on shortwave radio, but it's on television and, sure, of course, on the Internet and online.
My guest is David S. Jackson. He is the new executive editor here at the Washington Times. All right, so armed with that knowledge of what you've done, multimedia links to the international community, high tech, sets you up perfectly for this new age of newspaper, because lots of things have changed in this business. So what do we look forward to here at the Washington Times as a result of you taking the reins, if you will?
Well, I'm glad you asked. As you point out, we are living in a multimedia age, and the Washington Times is changing with that, adapting those changes just like everybody else. I'm very excited to take on this role because I think the Washington Times has a lot of built-in advantages. We have an identity that people know about. We have a distinct, what marketers would call, value proposition. We stand for something.
Mm-hmm.
We stand for values. We stand for a dedication to presenting news that people can't find anywhere else and covering the stories that other media may not be covering.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an audience for that. And so we really have a great opportunity. We have a great audience, and my job is to make it bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be doing that by not only continue to provide the kind of unique perspective and news and information that we've been doing in the paper, but we're going to be a lot more aggressive in our web outreach too.
Yeah.
And of course, broadcasting is part of that too. I mean, when I say multimedia, that means more than one medium. And we believe in being available on the media that our audiences prefer.
Yeah, it's very interesting. In taking the job here at the Washington Times a little over a year ago, I discovered very quickly that those people who read the Washington Times on an everyday basis were the same people listening to me on the other radio station, on the other side of town. And so there's a lot in common, and I know whenever there's a change here, people want to know about it, and that's why I wanted to have you on the program today, and I wish you much success. And we'll talk again. Don't be a stranger.
Good. I look forward to it, and thank you for having me.
Yep. David S. Jackson, executive editor of the Washington Times. 5:49, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT.